The Blind Spot with Rebecca Skeet and Tiffany Martin.
Welcome back. What was the creepy one? She's back. That's cool. Either way, welcome back to The Blind Spot, the podcast where we uncover what's often overlooked in tech, leadership, and life. I am Rebecca Ski.
I am always going to be Simply Tiff until we get this endorsement from Simply Orange. But thanks for tuning in.
Today, we're talking about faith, family, and tech, our jobs, the day-to-day. We're going to kind of dive into a question. What does it really take to balance a career, tech career specifically, with your personal life and still stay true to your faith? For some people, that is a factor. For some people, it's not. But for us, it is. So we'll be talking about how we manage growing organizations, juggling responsibilities, and how to stay grounded when everything feels like a lot.
All the time. It just, everything feels like a lot all the time.
All the time. Which call and response, talking about faith, that's part of it.
Hey.
We're also going to be sharing some of our favorite productivity tools that help us protect what matters most. How about that? Whether that's family time, quiet moments, or passion projects.
Yeah.
So do like Tiff did, grab your headphones, settle in, and get ready. Are you ready?
You are on also, 1,000 right now. I don't like it. Keep that energy. Listen, yeah.
I went to Brahms to eat before.
Yeah, you did.
For people who aren't familiar with Brahms, it's a creamery. What do you call places where people make ice cream parlor?
I don't even know if it's a chain out here in Texas, but it's like quintessential to like fast food out here. So you got to go.
See, but ice cream parlor makes me sound a little bit more distinguished. You know, like
Have it your way.
Thank you. That's a different thing. But so I went there and I normally get like a small or a child size vanilla shake with my order. This time they gave me a medium. So
I drank that medium.
A little asukar soup. Anyway, if you're feeling this conversation, do us a favor. Like, subscribe, leave a review. Or Tiffany, what else can they do?
Smash that button.
Oh, gosh.
I've been waiting to do that ever since we got on, like, the video aspect of this pod. I was like, smash, because we're on YouTube. I love it when they say it.
Yeah, do that. Please and thank you. It really helps others find The Blind Spot and join our community. So,
yeah.
Let's kick it off. I feel like I talked a whole lot in that intro. The pressure of wearing many hats or wraps or whatever. How do women in tech, and I'm just going to ask the question how many people ask it, and then we can dive deeper or break it out or just give the answer, however you so decide. How do women in tech manage the pressure of leading at work while showing up fully at home? Part of the reason why I paused and like even while I was reading the question is... It's not to say that I have all this ire and fire about it, but do they only ask that question to women? How do you balance?
Yes.
Okay.
You need to cut it. Yes. Our male counterparts do not get that question because I feel with us that we do manage a lot. You got to think of all of the hats and wraps that women wear, you know, or the expectations, societal expectations that we get. Whether that is marriage, maintaining that, children, keeping your house in order, showing up like nothing, like you have nothing else to do in the world and all you have to do in the world is your job and then doing it successfully without any tude. Because if you have attitude, then that feeds into you being an emotional creature. And if you are an African-American woman, then you're just angry. So you get all of those things. But one thing that Mama Oprah said that I always kept with me is like, yes, you can have all things. You can do all the things. You just can't do it all at once. So I just want to throw that out there.
So where does that, the expectation of doing everything all at once, is that external? Is that a societal pressure? Is that an internal pressure? What about us makes us feel like we have to do everything all the time for everyone. Yeah, full stop. What is it?
I just think, well, one, we are natural nurturers. This is our makeup, if you will. Mm-hmm. Some more than others, but for us as women, it's just a societal norm. And then what is external, we then internalize and we just follow these constructs without really thinking about or just being aware of what that looks like in practice. So, you know, it might be something that we've seen with our mothers, you know, or the matriarchs in our family. We just pick up on it and we just take it without asking, does it apply appropriately to us? I don't think that's a question that, you know, most women ask. We might take it and it might not be apropos in the current situation that we're in. So just throwing that out there.
Okay. So I feel like I added a detour to the question and I could have answered the initial question first. How do women in tech manage the pressure of leading at work while showing up fully at home? I'm currently fully at home. because I was like, what's the underlying question there? You're like, oh, and I guess I don't have to read more into it than what it is. That in of itself is my experiences bleeding out in my response. I could just take it at face value, which is at home. I do like to keep a clean home. I like to stay hydrated. You see this general glow that I've got going? It's mainly because the sun is shining directly on my face. Oh, thank you. Thank you. There's no wrong answer there. so I do want to stay hydrated. I want to live. And so maybe that's the thing, balancing what I do at my home personally for myself versus what I do for others. So my short answer, because I feel like I went over the mountain and through the woods, how do women in tech, how does Beck in tech manage? Hey. Barely. That's how I do it.
Barely. No, I am coming out of a season of overload that I did not do well. I just got my master's at that same time. Yeah, thanks. At that same time, I was, you know, doing a 9-to-5 because I was taking on the grunt of a lot. And then what ended up lacking was me wanting to do the things I felt in my marriage, as, you know, a wife should be in my marriage, wanted to do. I wanted to cook for my husband. You know, I wanted to spend more time. And child, it was me calling in a meal prep service. whenever, you know, me reading material and studying 4 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning and being alert, making sure he left, make sure he was good and everything, and then going right back into whatever I was doing. It was just not, there was no balance. But graduated now, shipped it on out of that 9-to-5, you know, going back to my own company full time and being more intentional about that time. But I just did not manage it at all.
That was a thoughtful response. That's good. I think what you mentioned about being intentional is definitely pertinent and helpful. Because if you don't manage your time will definitely manage you. A lot of the things that I've done previously has been reactive to the situation because it's like, okay, I'll just adapt. What needs doing at this moment? Which thing is burning? That's the thing that I'm going to put out. if you're just smoldering, you get to the back of the burner, you know, but if you're on fire, let's go. and, you know, just keeping it 100. Like there are some times where I do have moments of clarity of like how you said, like, when you have something specific that you want done, you want to see accomplished, and you can be intentional about it and get it done. And when I have those moments or when I'm in those seasons, as you identified it, then I think I'm a little bit more intentional. But more often than not, as it comes, as it goes.
Yeah.
That's how I roll. There, you mentioned that there was going to be the breakout between faith, family, and tech. So where we started was balancing tech and it said home. So I guess that could be family. Is there anything that you'd want to expound on about that? Like some of the byproducts. I know one of the conversations we had is for folks who are parents already and who are in roles, or whatever, there are some women who have mom guilt. Like they're not able to do all that they want to do or be who they want to be in various role, or they'll be shining in one area but feel like they're neglecting another or vice versa. And we were talking about how now one of us have a child, at least in the current moment, you know, things can happen. things could happen next episode. Hey, I just found out I'm pregnant. Oh my gosh. That was extra. But I said that sometimes I do be feeling aunt guilt.
Yes, auntie guilt.
Yeah. What does that mean?
You heard
mean?
It first here.
Right?
Do-do. Maybe.
T-M. Not for Tiffany Martin, but for Trey Martin. It's out. And you, it sounded like you identified with that when I said it. What does that mean to you, and how does that factor in to faith, family balance and all that jazz for you?
Well, when my sister had my nephew, I was actually on dialysis at the time, or about to get on dialysis rather, and I was sick a lot, but I really wanted to bond and spend that time. And, you know, we're close as ever now. But the same thing, I got, you know, got my healing and then ended up sick again when my niece was born. And so it was really, for me, important to spend time, because time looked different for me. Because I was so close to death. I know that sounds like terrible. It's like, oh, girl. But it really was like a life or death situation that I was dealing with for a very significant amount of time. And so family became like the focal point to me. And it was really important because at the time I didn't know, you know, how long I was going to be here. Wasn't expecting a kidney, was hoping for one. Anytime that I could spend with my niece and nephew, because I didn't know if I was going to see them grow, I was very intentional about, even if like I'm coming off of dialysis, I was headed over to, you know, spend time with them, spend time with my family. That once I did get my healing, I just kept it. Because before, you know, I'm just working myself to the ground. You know, before I really got sick, I was just traveling all over. I see the family when I see the family, then got sick, and then family became like everything, my support system. Then I got married, and then it was just like, you just realize what really is important, what you're really doing all of this for. You know, I don't want to live to work, or work to live. I don't know which one it is. I know it's a famous saying, but I don't want work to be the main point.
Like, I don't want to work at all. Yeah, okay.
Listen, soft girl era, full effect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just became important. And now I find myself, if I'm like doing meetings after meetings, and Beck, you know, like you be flying all over, I be here going from conference to meeting to speaking and so forth. And I'm like, I have not seen my niece or nephew in a very long time. And I just get this guilt. And I'm like, oh, this is what my sister feels. Maybe. I don't know if she experiences it, but yeah. Like, no, my mom had a conversation with my sister and I one day, and my mom's gonna be so ticked off. But she was just like, maybe when y'all were younger, I should have been a stay-at-home mom. And we were like, what? No. like no shade against the ones that are, but like, no, we needed to see you be this boss mom for me. Because I witnessed my mom go back to school when she was 40, get her bachelor's, do it while she had three teenage daughters that she was raising. She adopted my cousin. So you got three teenage girls, all their hormones, all of their extracurricular activities, getting them there, not late for anything, keeping a full-time job, making dinner, husband coming home, keeping that house in tip-top shape. Yeah, I needed to see that. Now, I don't know what that did, you know, at the expense of what for my mom. But for me, it let me know that, yeah, girl, you push come to shove, you can do it. Your mama did it. So I don't really have an excuse, but I would have hoped at some point in time, sooner than later, she would have broke it down and like, this is how I was able to do it. What I wish I would have, done over, or this is what I could have done better. But it doesn't matter. I think my mom is perfect and great. All that she did is contributed to who I am today. Nothing bad, nothing to critique about, you know, my mom. I'm just like, girl, how did you do all of this? You know, but yeah.
I think it's interesting how it makes me think of that movie. I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. I got to do it like Leo said it. I don't want to be a product of my environment. I want my environment to be a product of me. I hit my chest a little hard. And seen.
I think that Brahms kicking in.
Listen, or wearing off. Shoot, I'm starting to feel tired. This is why you need to make healthy choices. I should have had a salad and some water. And so I'll be taking some couple sips. As she pauses for a sip there. I think children can benefit from either, right? So like first I'll preface it with saying I am not currently married. I don't currently have children, or currently makes it seem like I was married at one point. I only say currently because I'm like, hey, I don't know what the future holds. I might get married eventually. I might have children eventually, but right now I'm not, and I don't. The other side of the aunt guilt, and it's going to tie, I'm going to try to come full circle back to what you said about your mom just now. The other side of the aunt guilt is I have so many different things going on, and I feel like I don't spend enough time with them. And I love these little humans. So that part factors in. But then also, just like how when I'm doing all the things and then still trying to find time to hang out, just know them or what have you, I understand like how my, you know, sisters must feel. The other part of it is sometimes I feel like I feel guilty for having time. Like when I finally do stop traveling or finally do whatever and I sit down, I feel guilty for rest sometimes. Like... what have you done to earn this? or do you realize your sister down the road, she would love to take a rest and kick her feet up, but she got, you know, people looking on her to feed them and prepare them, everything else. And so that's the other part of guilt. And it's nothing that they put on me. It's, I be picking up things that I have no business picking up and I need to set them down.
There you go. There you go.
And I'm aware at least, you know, but I'm just the human part of me. I always felt like, value was tied to productivity and activity. And if I'm not moving and if I'm not doing, if I'm not producing, if I'm not whatever, then what am I doing? So that's the other part of the guilt that comes in because, yeah. And I guess it's not limited to being in the position of an aunt, but it kind of, when you think of what an aunt is, there, it's an alternate form of mothering and nurturing. And I feel that for people outside of my immediate family, for the orgs that we work in, a lot of them, they're service oriented. I want to help take care of people. I want to help provide for people. So it expands beyond my immediate family and then also into the work that I do. And so trying to find the balance, because I do think it's worthwhile. I do think I don't do it just for kicks and gigs, even though I do get kicks and gigs doing it. I feel like it's tied to my purpose and my creation. The reason I was created for this life is to serve. And I know how some people could think that's problematic. And sometimes I probably take it too extreme and I need to deal with it, but I'm okay with it. And I think some people, we need people who are excited about taking care of others and giving back to others because it's work that needs doing. But if I'm, you know, being 100% honest, sometimes I feel the balance of it, or the other side of it is the balance irony is that I do feel guilty if I'm not actively doing something for other people, not all the time, just sometimes that creeps up. Am I alone in that or do
no,
you?
No, I totally agree. Whenever there's idle time and I'm, y'all gonna get sick of me on this pod talking about just life or death. I'm a come off of it. But no, whenever there's idle time, I'm like, I need to be putting something in this time. I need to either be working on VisioTech, or I need to be working on curriculum development, or I need to be, you know, posting this on LinkedIn, or I need to just, you know, I need to be going over to my parents' house to go, you know, spend time with them, or, you know, I'm saying all of this stuff and like my husband, oh snap, we haven't gone on a date. I need to, you know, it's all over the place. And when it pertains to like the job, the best advice that I ever got, this woman, she's just absolutely beautiful inside out. How do I know outside? Don't know. But her name is Dr. Frost. Yeah. Dr. Frost. And I encourage everybody to go look her up on LinkedIn or so forth. But we were having lunch and she said, we were talking about jobs. We were having this conversation. And she was like, listen, a job is not your purpose. A job is a vehicle for your purpose. And I was like, dang. Like, why did I learn that like in college? You could have saved me so much heartache and risk. But I had to, you know, that reframed how I position certain things in my life. And I hate, I used to do this where everybody's like, you got to compartmentalize this and this and this. And that's not how we're created. It's really hard to kind of separate things, which would require you to be a certain type of person for that certain type of thing. No, you should be your full self, present in all different areas. That doesn't mean you change or modify anything about yourself in order to accommodate what you compartmentalize. That just means you prioritize and you're fully present for that time being. And that's what I had to learn now. Like, who you get as far as a CEO for Physiotech is who you get in friendship at home, which is the same person that you're going to get in family. Because when I'm doing that work, I'm taking all of that experience with me. When people at their 9 to 5s, if they're coming in, that means they're coming in with all of the worries as well as the glories of their day, all of the problems as well as all of the triumphs of family, home, life, and everything. So that's why I think we should completely embrace those that we work with or friends in different capacities, their full selves. And I'm saying this, it sounds really great. Right. In theory, it's really hard in practice, but I think it's very beneficial once we kind of get that ingrained in us.
So I don't know if this is a disagreement. And if it is, ooh, that makes for good ratings. Let's go. But I think I am myself in all different scenarios, but sometimes I don't always present the same or I don't show up the same, even though I'm the same person. So it's like, I feel like I'm water, but at work, I might be ice. At home, I might be steam. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still me, but the scenario requires a different form of me. I'm not gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's still each experience and the way I show up is informed by all aspects of me and my history and my understanding and my knowledge and my experience, etc. But it's still not the exact same. It's not the same. I'm not saying it's not the same me. It is the same me. It's just I'm not showing up the exact same in all of those different areas.
But and are I think, you still water?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you're not gold in that situation because that's not who you are.
Listen, baby, all that glitters ain't gold. I'm gold in every situation.
Okay. All right.
No. I mean, but I just meant like, because some people, I think that they have to be the exact same in every situation. But the truth of the matter is some situations require a little bit different something from you. You know, like I can be understanding and caring and loving, and I can be that way for everyone. But the way that I interact with my young baby child niece is not going to be the same way that I interact with potential partner for the organization.
And you know I agree. I wasn't, okay. We're saying the same thing and everybody's going to be like, ah, Tiffany's backtracking. No, we're saying the same thing. What I'm saying at your core, the essence of who you are is still H2O. How that is presented, yes, steam here, ice there, liquid here. But many people, I think, change themselves, change their chemical. What is the proper word? I'm having such a brain lapse. It's going to make it sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. But
list power of editing. We can adjust this however we need to in the
background. Nah, keep it. Keep it. This is what you get. But no, they change the essence of who they are to fit. And then I find that the people that I know that say that they did that, then they come home and they're tired, restless. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, because if you are comfortable in your skin in whatever capacity that was to your core, you're not having to keep up with multiple maybe hats, reps, types, and things of that nature. So that's all I'm saying. When women specifically can be their natural selves, and whether that's steam, if they turn into steam or liquid form or ice, if they're still who they are, I think you see them a little bit more fulfilled in what they're doing, more laxed. They flow in their quote unquote elements, since we're, you know, doing this. But yeah, you know, it's just I see where women, I've interacted with women when who they are just shines in different ways. And then I've seen, you know, women that I know and it just they change.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I see why you're tired. You keep it up with a lot of people in one. So, yeah.
So two things. One, when you were like steam, water, it made me think of with our powers combined, earth, wind, Captain Planet
was the jam. They were nothing but the Magic School Bus kids just hitting pure beauty. Think about
it. Wait, but isn't it vice versa though? Captain Planet came out before Magic School Bus.
No, but I'm saying they were older though.
Oh,
Captain Planet kids were older. Yeah.
I was thinking about timeline. You're just saying the children. It's
no, we're not doing the chronological versus beliefs.
I got you. I was like,
get out of here, Star Wars.
Let me dial back.
So that was a hard left.
I'll dial back. Part of the reason it wasn't like a, it wasn't meant to be direct contrast what you were saying, but I think sometimes when people hear things, all of us process things differently. We hear things in the position that we are in to receive them. But I also wanted to make sure that people didn't swing that pendulum too far to the other extreme and say, oh, you know, don't change who you are. I'm going to stay exactly the same in every single situation. Ah, this is what you get every time. And it's like, it still helps to adjust.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was part of that bringing it back, because it's like, nah, you're going to take these ice cubes. It's like, I can't drink this. I'm thirsty right now. Take that ice. And they just like,
okay, stop. Nah. That's, yes, everything you said, I agree with. But it all ties into what we're talking about today, between where we are out in the business world, in our domain being tech, where we are, you know, in our family and everything. And I think it ties perfectly into the next segment of like what anchors us with all of those moving parts. And that's faith. So I'm going to let you lead on faith.
Okay, I shall guide. So the guiding question that we have is, how does faith guide us in setting boundaries and staying centered in a high-paced tech world? First, I want to say, what does faith mean? What does it, you know, you get on dating sites, we'll talk about that in one of our future episodes. They're like, you know, what's your religion? Some people are spiritual, some people whatever, and to each their own, you know, not in a position to cast stones or judge anybody, but can speak to what it is for us. I do have a current qualm and stick in my craw, as some country folks say, about the representation that people are boldly giving Christians, talking out of both sides of their mouth, and in my estimation, misrepresenting what I believe. And so then it's like, okay, well, what do you believe? Now, this is a limited time that we have available for the show. So I'm not going to give you 5 points in a poem and preach a Baptist sermon and take up an offering and, you know, take 3 more hours. I think
you're going to get that church finger.
Listen, I'm going to take a different tack, and I think it could be summarized in, there's this song by, the group is called Bird Talker. The title of the song is Want, and the lyrics read thusly. I don't want to have feet of stone. I'm going to skip around so that you can get the gist of what I'm saying. I don't want to have feet of stone. I want to follow this river of life where it will have me go. I don't want to have a dagger tongue. I don't want my words to be a weapon, but a healing balm. I don't want to have a heavy mind. I don't want to hold these thoughts that are chains of iron. I want to have eyes of love. Count the beggar man's life precious as my own. Offer my back for my brother's load. I want to have eyes of love. That song, first of all, listen to it. It's so good. The group, I'm live, they're fantastic. But it's a simple song and it's pretty straightforward. I can list out attributes and things, and there are a value that of what I think it means to be a Christian or whatever else. But all of that would be inconsequential if how I treat you and if how I carry myself is completely incongruent with what I say I believe. So that's why it was important to me to say the words to that song. I want to treat people right. You know, I want, when I say, if I pop up on Easter and I'm like, amen, he's risen, I don't want people to be like, you a Christian? Since when? Like, it shouldn't be a surprise.
Since when? That is hilarious.
The way you talking to folks, the way you act with people, the attitude you got, the way you treat your neighbor. So anyway, it informs how I carry myself, how I treat other people. Now, I will say I am not perfect. I'm not claiming to be. Sometimes I fall short. Now, I'm not using that as an excuse to continue to fall short, but more as a disclaimer that when you see me fall short, I mean, you could laugh, but do it behind your hand so I don't see you, but offer me a hand up, you know? But anyway, that might be an oversimplification for some people. It might sound too hokey and not enough Bible or whatever else, but that's at the end of it all. I want the way that I act, the way that I interact, the way that I respond to be reflective of what I believe. And if you don't see love in how I interact with people, then pack it all in.
Yeah. Same. It was funny because Beck and I were returning from like a training and just having like a conversation. And I was like, man, do I sound judgmental? I don't mean to. Let me know if I'm judgmental. You know, let me tell y'all something. There is nothing that somebody has done that I am in the position to ever judge. I've been very open. You can look on many a podcast, speaking engagements, just general conversations with me. I have been open about my past. Listen, I didn't go blind for nothing, all right? I had many a hot girl summers. If I ever have kids and they come to me like, you don't understand, hush. I know, like, there's nothing that anybody could ever come to me and just, I will never shame anybody. It does not matter what it is. I have been out in them streets. And the crazy thing about it is, like, I grew up in church. Full pulpit. I was in the choir. I was in the sign language ministry. Full family. And Beck knows my full family could create a church. Literally. They did. they could be a church. Because I got everybody in. But, like, for me, and me just kind of getting back in line with God, it did take a life or death situation. It had to halt me in my tracks. And I guess I ain't learned a lesson the first time. So being on dialysis twice, I always say the first time changed my mind about God. The second time changed my heart about God. And so whenever, you know, I'm out, I am not. Now, let me put a pin. I got this Chosen shirt. Yes. The homie, Corey Broussard, he has a wonderful company that sells paraphernalia. I can wear my faith on my chest. But, you know, I love, like, you know, what he does. But am I going around, like, thumping people in the Bible in the forehead? No. You know, am I, like, walking in and be like, I'm a Christian? All right, now we can talk.
I am a
CHRIS. But no, I'm not doing that. I believe in just relationship with folks. Mm-hmm. And we talk. I believe anybody from any background should be comfortable enough to just walk up and we have a conversation. Now, that internal light, my anchor, my faith, I think it should be a mirror and somebody be like, man, I really love, you know, what she's putting down and I want to pick it up. And then they just go on, and then that's it. I have friends that are atheists, friends that are agnostic. I have them all over. It doesn't change my faith or belief or whatnot. And it doesn't change my love for them. Do I, you know, hope that they get the same goodness that I'm getting? Yeah, but who's to say that they're not? God could be doing a work, but that's not me to impose or change anybody. I am just here to share good news and go on about my way. That's it. If they want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. If they don't, okay, I can pray, but I'm not going to sit up there and keep saying, did you get the Lord? Get the Lord yet? So, but no, God could be using them for whatever. However, all you're supposed to do is just share. And then that's it. You don't hound anybody. And that's just me. We can beef it out. Hit me up if you got a problem with it. But don't. But yeah, that's how I feel about it. But I will say, for me, my walk, all that I went through brought me here. It is my experience. My belief, my convictions are dead set on that because of what's happening in my life. And if somebody sees that and they are moved by it and there's some internal conviction on them or whatnot, then we'll talk. And if they get the Lord for themselves, that's great. But that's it, you know. And just tying it back to everything, it's what I lean on. I believe a lot of the ideas that I get in the body of work that I do between AI, accessibility, other tech, and cybersecurity is because, like, I get good principles in the Bible. I don't want to say, oh, you use that as a manual. No, they got a whole section full of, like, just wisdom books. First is really good just to, I can add that to this, you know, or just having how you treat your employees, how you treat your customers and stuff. I just, you know, it's simple stuff that I can take and pull. And then with my family, you know, it's the very first ministry that it talks about is family. I can't do anything else unless I get that part right. That's my first ministry. That's my first focus. That is my first purpose, is making sure my family is straight. Everything else just flows naturally out of that. So that's my anchor to all, you know, all the things that we talked about. It makes me become balanced. If I'm like, oh, I did not take my quiet time in the morning. And it's hard because typically that phone is ringing. I'm like, oh, I can finish these emails. Ain't nobody bothering me. The husband's asleep. Ain't nobody called. I can do it. Nah, I take that time for devotion and to center myself so I can get through the day.
Yeah. One, I think, is worth acknowledging or identifying, I guess, is that there are some Christian people who I know, or self-identifying as Christian. I don't know what their walk is, and I'm not going to be the one to judge, but they say they're Christian and are just as hateful can be, and do not exhibit any peace, love, kindness, any of the fruits of the Spirit. But then there are people who are agnostic or don't know what they are. They're like, theology, religion, never given it much thought. I don't know where I fall. Who are genuinely trying to be decent and kind people. So it's not to say if a person has XYZ label, they're inherently better than another person or whatever. It's more so for us, as you mentioned, what you're guiding, what your anchor is. For me, what my guide is, this is what has helped me. It's not to put on any airs or be condescending to anyone who doesn't have the same belief. It's just to say, this is how that belief informs how we show up. Just like how we're talking about with ice, water, steam. As far as staying centered and, you know, trying to be balanced, it helps me with perspective because life in and of itself can be a lot. The day-to-day things sometimes are like snowflakes. And so in and of itself, it seems, you know, oh, why can't you deal with this? Why can't you deal with that? But when things compound and then snowball and then avalanche, then it's like, oh my gosh, it's all these things. For me, again, my faith helps give me perspective and it helps me remain grounded. And as far as Tiffany said too, about like just words of wisdom, like, I have learned whether abased or abound there within to be content, you know, or my favorite scripture in Matthew is take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil therein.
See, now you're making me feel bad because now you just quoting scripture and I'm like, dang.
Listen,
what do I have in my Rolodex of
I had to to do something because when we did our first take of this and we had to record because we lost connection or whatever else.
No, you lost balance. Tell the truth. You balance. The very thing we're talking about in this episode.
First of all. You will not reframe my story.
The truth will set you free.
Okay, fine. I will double back and I'll talk about what happened, okay, from multiple angles. But you were quoting this whole thing about Western theology versus Eastern and all this stuff. And I was like, dang, that sounds deep. And I like it was a superficial answer. I'm going to have to come back with something else.
Challenge.
But to that scripture, the point of it is like, let tomorrow deal with tomorrow. And it's that was more or less when I read it. I was like, this is a biblical YOLO. Like, there's enough that's going on with this day. Deal with what is your portion for today. And then tomorrow you will deal with tomorrow. And, you know, as it goes on. And in cybersecurity and IT, I think there's so much that's going on. It's such a dynamic field. Things are changing all of the time. There are 0 days. Like, so even if you thought that you had a handle on something, I understand the signature. I know what this bad actor looks like and this, that, and the other. Here, there are techniques, tactics, and all this other jazz. And then tomorrow, here's something else that you weren't planned for. And it's a surprise. And so it can be overwhelming. It can be daunting if you try to do all of the things all the time. Even with that being said, I do still try to do all the things all the time, but I have a center that I can return to. A balancing, you know, when I do reset, then I'm like, bing, bing. That was me.
That's your reset app?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Anyway, I don't want to belabor the point. I won't feed a full horse instead of beating a dead one. Because why?
Okay.
Yeah. Have you not heard those? Like they.
I heard beat a dead horse, but I never heard beat a full one. But I'm
That just sounds more productive. Yeah.
Put that in my pocket.
Or like how they said, kill two birds with one stone. Why are we killing the birds? You can feed two birds with one scone.
Jesus be a fence.
All around me.
Every day. So.
Okay. So to the balance of what you mentioned last time. Because
I feel like I need to share this part.
Fine. Go ahead. Let me drink my water.
You drink your water. So y'all, this is not the first take of this episode. This is the second. The first one, yes, I went deep. I was talking about my little change and how I've been studying and Eastern and rabbinical studies. And if you want to learn more about that, just hit me up. We don't have the time. But it was like very deep. I'm talking about chiasms and all that. It was really good. Toward the end of filming, I realized there are some certain points where my co-host is just not talking. She comes back on and she's like, oh, I was doing two things at once. And I'm like, no, we're trying to help our audience not do these things. You know, we're trying to teach balance. Then all of a sudden, it just goes silent. Now, just indulge me for a second. Mm-hmm. I'm blind, can't see anything, no cues, no nothing, and then silence. I felt like I lost two of my faculties. Hello, Rebecca. Hello. Yeah, that's me on this podcast filming by myself unknowingly for a while. Yeah. What ended up happening, she took a call for a meeting, tried to hop back on. However, the internet did what the internet does, and she could not get back in the room. But unbeknownst to me, it is still recording. So you are getting all of my just quirks. I am freestyling at one point, I guess. I am just saying whatever. I'm trying to close out the show by myself, talking to myself, responding to myself. Got up, scratched my tummy, didn't realize that my camera, this brand new camera that I got, was following me around the room. So you get just, not just this area, but the entire room. It was a mess. And finally we got back on, and yeah, I will let you take it from here, because my blind self was just having a ball by myself.
Okay. You aren't completely, you know, like, incorrect. But let me, if you will allow me, give an alternate view to the telling of that story. We were originally supposed to record on a Friday, but we have multiple ventures that we're doing with each other, actually, and independently. And one of those adventures took the time slot that we normally have for Friday. So it was a pivot. Okay. We pivot to, what day was that? Monday, Tuesday? Doesn't matter. It was the year 2025, my Lord. I was out of town. I packed my laptop, obviously my laptop, I carry that thing all the time, which might be another question about balance. I was about to say, I'm not going to take it on my vacation, but that's a lie. I'm still going to take it. And I packed my camera, my mic, everything. I was like, okay, we can record. Not a big deal. Oh, we were supposed to record that Sunday. That's what it was. And yeah. I was like, Sunday's a travel day. I do have a reception that night when I get there, because I was going to town for a conference. So, but we can record in the afternoon. Qualm. Problem. Not airports. That's not the airport's fault. Hotels. Don't let you check in until 3 o'clock. So even if you get there early or whatever else, there's no designated place. And I had to use this special mic instead of like my standard headphones, because last time it gives a little gobbledygook sound. So then I was like, okay, well.
Also time difference.
And time difference. Yeah. So I was like, oh, wait, I thought I was going to be here at this hour. No, it's this hour. So we couldn't do it that Sunday because of the flight was missed and whatever else. Like, fine. Where there's a will, there's a way. We start recording at the hotel. Before we get to record the episode, we also had a 2-hour meeting.
Developing curriculum.
Yeah, it was a productive time. We did a whole lot. It was fantastic. But we were already on for 2 hours, and I was connected to the hotspot on my phone because. Okay, we're about to get ready to record the episode, and I'm like, you know what? I should probably switch from my hotspot to the hotel Wi-Fi. I have my VPN on, whatever else. It's just for the recording of this episode, because then at least I don't have to worry about bandwidth or whatever the heck. And I should do it. Now, if my memory serves, someone said, nah, why would you switch from your phone? Do you remember this?
I do. We had no problems. And I'm like, hey, it's been flowing. There has been no mm-hmm. lag, no nothing. Mm-hmm. Just keep it. Let's go. Because we've been on. So let's just keep it going.
being the conscientious collaborator that I am, I listened to my cohort and co-host, and I did not switch from my hotspot, and I kept it going. And sure enough, we were recording. Everything was good. Now, I timed it out so we could have 2 hours for our working meeting and then an hour for recording. And then I would have the meeting, the other meeting that I had scheduled. Well, because of the kerfuffle, part of it, I will take ownership of. I was trying to find the right lighting. I was chasing the sun. And then I was trying to get my camera set up and my headset, all of the stuff, because we were in the hotel and I had to angle it just right. By the time we got to going, I was like, okay, well, we're only supposed to be recording for 45 minutes. So we got it. We could still make it up. I got it. Let's try it and rate it 1 to 10. It'll be good, right? It wasn't. We got like 40 minutes in. And so at that point, I'm starting to, and I'm looking at my watch or my phone to see the timeline cutting down. And then I'm looking at us recording. I'm like, no, we hit most of the questions. We got it. Then all of a sudden, the screen just like shook. And I was like, what the heck? And it said, you have lost connectivity. Or first it said, you are unstable. And I was like, that's neither here nor there, but can we still do this show? I have therapy sessions to work through my instability. And then it's still not connecting. And I was like, oh, well, maybe this is a sign. I had my friend and CISO Elise, who was in the room as well. I was like, okay, you're on this call. You go start the meeting. And if they have any questions, let them know I'm coming, this, any other. So she goes to start the meeting.
Where?
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom, in the
office,
y'all.
Okay? The office of the hotel room. There's only so much space. There's limited
real estate.
So she grabs her laptop to go start the meeting. And I'm like, okay, good. We're still good. We're having a conversation. Everything's going. And then the camera cuts. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, it's still recording. And so then I'm like, well, I'll use this time to pivot to the call real quick, since that's not good. So we tag team. Elise comes back to get here to watch the podcast to see if it's going. I get on the phone and then the call starts going. It's still circling. It's not loading. And then I text Tiffany to be like, hey, I lost connectivity, but stay there. And so there's kerfuffle, back forth. What's going on? I don't know. And then the meeting's going on. What did you say? I don't know. This is what I'm saying. Thank you. All right. SquadCon 2025. Then I drop the call, get back on here, and I'm like, it's got to be the hotspot. Sure enough, I used all of the data for this cycle of my hotspot, and that's why it kicked me out. And I switched back to the hotel Wi-Fi, jumped back in, got back into my old school help desk troubleshooting days, got everything figured out. We got back in there. We were able to save it, the recording that we started.
Oh, man. It's ballots. Just balance. All of it, just life imitating art imitating life. It was just, I chuckled so hard. I wish y'all could have saw my blind tail just like, hey, hello. Then I thought my husband was here. It was awful.
And we were both talking at the same time because with Riverside, you know, it records locally and then it uploads and then you get it all. So I can, in the recording, I can hear you saying, Rebecca? You there? And then I'm like, I'm not even on there right now. I don't know what's going on with the internet.
But I thought my husband was here, and I'm like, Rich, oh my God, I'm here by myself. Saying this all in the mic. I get up, I go check, he's gone. Saying nothing. And it's just, I mean, it was the funniest thing, but all of that to say, balance is essential.
Yep.
Having an anchor makes,
you gotta roll just, with the punches.
Yeah, you gotta roll with the punches, which is a great segue of tools in our next segment. One of my favorite is the one after this, but one of my favorite, the straight BS. No, it's not what you think. BS stands for blind spot, where we bring tools, tips, tricks, anything out of the shadows and into the light, out of the blind spot, into the light, and just share with you in hopes that it'll make your life a little bit easier. So this time we're gonna have Rebecca share some tips and tricks on some tools that'll help us find balance.
Help us find. We're in search of it, as indicated and shared. So what I like about this is it's not us preaching to say, hey, you're doing this wrong. We're doing it perfect. Get like us. It's more of a, hey, we've had some things and this is how we've been able to leverage it to help us. Try it if you think, if it serves. So there's a couple things. One, whenever I have meetings, Zoom is my preferred platform just because that's the one that I pay for. That's the one I have. And there is a native feature in there called AI Companion. And I turn it on whenever I'm having meetings. Now, I do ask folks before I do, more often than not, hey, can I turn on the AI Companion here so I can take these notes just to make sure that they're aware. Now, it does, even if you were to turn it on prior to the person joining the call, there is an alert that says this meeting is being recorded or transcribed or what have you. There is still some sort of alert or notification that's given to the other person. So they shouldn't be able to just record you unbeknownst to you. But I like it for, and I'll still take notes, manual notes while I'm in the meeting. But the good thing is, you know, sometimes the nature of life, things happen. You have, as we just described, 50 million things going on at the same time. And sometimes I know that I'll have a meeting and we'll be like, okay, great. We'll circle back in X amount of time. And then it's time for circle up and you're like, wait a minute, what did we talk about? What was going on or whatever? You have a meeting summary that you can go back and refresh and say, oh, here's the overall summary. Here are the things that discussed. Here are the action items. And so then I can follow up accordingly. So that's great. The other thing is, I also have the Zoom scheduler turned on. That's an additional cost, but I think it's worthwhile. It's like $5 or something. And it works like, Calendly or things like that, that you're probably familiar with or have seen or heard. You can put your calendar in there and people can schedule time accordingly. You can adjust your scheduler card to say exactly what it is. So I'm like, this is for folks who want to talk to me about operations with BGH. This is for people who want to schedule time to talk about the blind spot, what have you, because it's my personal one. So like, it can be used for the various things that people might want to meet with me on. Because sometimes, especially when it's like, hey, so what's your availability? And then the person gets it because they're busy and they're like, this is my availability and the availability is already passed. And it's like, okay, well, here's my fresh availability. Whereas it could be like, here's the time, book it. As soon as you click it, it's already set up there. And then also for tracking things, there are various note-taking options that folks can use or leverage. I've used the Kanban board, like in Trello, where you can see different cards and tickets for each of the different things that you're working on. A friend of mine has done it for like her year of, here are the things I want to accomplish this quarter. Here's the training I want to take. Here are the day-to-day things I need to follow up on. So just a visualization of work, but personally for you. Those are the main things for me. And then also, since we're talking about technology and we talked about faith and family, two other things. I use Bible Gateway for my phone. I have switched more so back to using a physical Bible just because I feel like you find things by happenstance when you're searching. Yeah, it's a study Bible. And I want to have a better understanding. I don't want to be one of those people who say, yeah. Why? Because. And you can back it up. And so I want to study and learn. And I don't want to say that I believe something and not know what it is that I say that I believe. But anyway, I could go on for additional things. I put family events on my calendar so that I can actually see it. Games, whatever. I might still not show up, but at least I know what I'm missing and I can send a card or a Cash App. Be like, hey, yeah, thinking of you and love you. Those are mine.
Yeah. And just adding on to what you said, with Zoom, when we're talking about, like, we like to add in accessibility tools. If you're doing webinars or meetings or whatnot, it has live caption. Mm-hmm. Microsoft Teams also have live caption. I believe Google Meet either is about to, or it's just like in their paid subscription. But yeah, those are just great tools just to have. And when you're recording and you want to do playback, they're already there. You can, you know, fix them and so forth. And then going back to the AI Companion with note takers, I believe with any note takers, there are some. I have to go back and check, my bad for not doing my due diligence, but hit me up on LinkedIn. I'll have the information in. If you type in the chat or verbally say, I believe, you know, that you don't want to be recorded, some of them will pick that up and then they will automatically turn off. But yeah, I would just keep an eye on whatever tool that you utilize to note take for you to see what their privacy laws are, because that's important, their policies and so forth. But yeah, Zoom is great. I like it. It's just very easy, user-friendly from a screen reader standpoint. Microsoft Teams is as well as Google Meet. I've utilized all of them. But yeah, so moving to
real quick, one thing I quick little asterisk thing to add there. With it's a close best guess summary, so still review it, because there are sometimes I've read the summary and it'll be like, and Rebecca said she's going to do this. I said, no, I did not. That was a misrepresentation of the conversation. So don't take that for granted. Still review and check for accuracy. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Really key point, like important point that I should have remembered. So yeah, thanks. Tactic. But yeah, my favorite part. What is it? What is it?
Joke, a little ha-ha, kiki.
Yeah, it's my favorite part.
My gosh.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead, girl.
Your response every time is, my God. It's so
because
great.
I already said I was ready, and you were like, are you ready? I'm like, do I need to get more ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm extra ready now. I'm ready.
Where is that Brahms energy we had at the beginning?
Ready, it just it's false and it's eluding. Now, I won't put this on Brahms, but sugar itself is not meant to sustain.
It's not meant to last. Okay. What do you call a nun with an open briefcase?
What?
None of your business.
My gosh. Oh.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, it's so good.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. I wasn't expecting that. I got concerned because I feel like I heard another nun joke and I said, ooh, where's she going? But she kept it right.
Oh, gosh. That one gets me every time.
My gosh.
I hope this was a great end for you all listening, that you smiled. Even if it's with me or at me, it doesn't matter. Just hope that you smile. That's all we're here for. Just bringing you Jesus joy. I'm joking. But no, seriously. Hope y'all have a really, really great week. Make sure that you like us, you subscribe, you rate. 5 stars. Don't hurt our feelings, but be honest. Mm-hmm. But just be nice, honest. Wherever you listen to podcasts, share us. We share us, tag us so we can comment and become friends. But yeah, we just want to connect with you. You can also visit us on the web at theblindspotpod.com and learn a little bit more about us. But yeah.
Ideal. Both of us are on LinkedIn. Follow us directly if you so desire. And yeah, also email info@theblindspotpod.com if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feedback of, hey, Beck, exactly how you balance is how I balance. We don't balance, so let's do better. Or here's the tool that I've used to check this out, what have you. Or if it's just to say hi, hit up the mailbox and we'll definitely do our best to respond. And a prospector, thank you. I got my popcorn. It was delicious. I ate that first bag the day it arrived.
Yeah, those are good people. Good people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, join us next time here at The Blind Spot.
Thank you. Bye.